It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacey. I'm sitting in for Ernest while he takes a little bit of a break and gets things cooking for the Freedom Summit that's coming up on December 4th through 6th. So getting back to what we were talking about with the Hegelian dialectic and how they're using it in the various ways to get their agendas across. I want to talk, again, we did a big thing on global warming last week when Al Gore was going to be in town, but I want to talk about the global warming and how they have used that as the Hegelian dialectic to use that as a way to bring about this global governance and their end goal of being eugenicists. And eugenicists are people that want to control the way people are born and how many of us and our quality, our genetics, it's just monkeying with the master plan. And that's really where we're at with the eugenics. And we're going to talk more about that, but I want to talk about that in relation to global warming and climate change. So according to the Hegelian dialectic, you create a problem. So what they've done is they've created a pseudoscience and declared that the Earth is warming at a dangerous and alarming rate due to a man-created increase in the amount of carbon emissions. They also declare that mankind itself is the greatest risk to the continuation of life on this Earth, which is farcical at best. So, once you create the problem, you create a reaction. So you exploit people's fear of radical change and death by an artificially created crisis. So the solution that they offer, which again is the goal that they originally wanted to create in the first place, is to create a global tax on carbon-based emissions, such as CO2 and methane, in order to fund the creation of the global bank, global currency, global elite oligarchy, otherwise known as the New World Order. But if the truth be told, this carbon tax will do nothing more than hinder manufacturing, agriculture, travel, scientific discovery, and commerce, bringing about a worldwide decrease in the standard of living, famine, and disease. Again, this is eugenics. This is about controlling the amount of people on this earth because you, me, everybody listening, unless you're one of the global elite, you're fouling up their air with every breath that you take. You're crapping up the earth that they believe that they own, and you need to be weeded out if you're not a productive member making money for them. And, you know, the president here, and I don't pick on Obama. He's just a tool of these global elites, same as George Bush was. They just go about their things in different ways, and they ride the wave of public opinion, okay? So we got overwhelmingly a Democrat being, you know, put into office. And so they're doing all the socialist stuff, rather than the fascist stuff that was going on during the Bush era. We're going to get back when we talk about this. We're going to talk about what's going on with regard to global warming here and what Obama and his team are doing about it. When we get back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, my name is Jet Lacey. We'll be right back.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacey. I'm sitting in for Ernest while he takes a little break and gets caught up on some work. I'm going to be doing this a little bit, you know, probably at least once a week, once or twice a week, fill in for Ernest because he's doing two shows and he's got so many irons in the fire. I'm really amazed at all the things that this one man can get accomplished. So getting back to the Hegelian dialectic of global warming, I want to read you a quote from someone about what their plans are, okay? And I'll explain to you who it is and what they are afterwards. It says, perhaps the United Nations population agencies might eventually be developed into a planetary regime, sort of an international super agency for population, resources, and environment. Such a comprehensive planetary regime could control the development, administration, conservation, and distribution of all natural resources, renewable or non-renewable, at least insofar as international implications exist. Thus, the regime could have the power to control pollution, not only in the atmosphere and the oceans, but also in such freshwater bodies as rivers and lakes that cross international boundaries or that discharge into the oceans. The regime might also be a logical central agency for regulating all international trade, including food on the international market. The planetary regime might be given responsibility for determining the optimum population for the world and or each region and for arbitrating various countries' shares within their regional limits. Control of population size might remain the responsibility of each government, but the regime should have some power to enforce the agreed limits. These are the words of John P. Holdren, who is Obama's science and technology czar. He is an avowed eugenicist. He is one of the people that believes that we, you know, a lot of these elites believe that we should be down to 500 million people. There's something in Georgia called the Georgia Guidestones. They don't even know who put them up. And it just basically says what they believe in a few different languages. And one of them is to keep the optimum world population of human beings at 500 million, which if you look at now, we're at 6 billion. It's quite a bit less. They want actually a 80 to 90% decrease in the amount of individuals walking the earth. Why? Because the fact of the matter is that they have created the technology in order to, that we, they don't need that many people to make them have opulent lifestyles and get the cars built that they want built. And what they want to do is to create a very tightly controlled scientific dictatorship where every single aspect of your life is controlled. And how they plan on controlling you is by using biometrics, using, you know, your finger scans, your iris scans, your body scans, to absolutely be able to identify you on a moment-by-moment basis. UN frontman Ban Ki-moon remarked that sooner or later, there will be a higher price on carbon imposed either by policy or by market forces. Unfortunately, we know precisely what motivates the initiators of this global effort: profit, absolute control, and depopulation of the world's inhabitants. That's just the fact of the matter is. In 1968, this is the big one. There's a think tank called the Club of Rome. And if you read there, they have a publication called Limits to Growth. They came out and say that they knew that the green movement that they had created was designed to blame man for the supposed predicament the earth was in. As a consequence, the number of people should be reduced lest the earth crumble under his crushing weight. The only thing to be done was for a global body of power to enforce depopulation goals as decided upon by the global elite. And I don't know if any of you remember, it's probably one of those little things. The very first thing that Obama did when he became president was to allocate funds for abortions in Africa. Which, you know, that opens up a whole nother different discussion. But that's the very first thing he did after being sworn in as president of the United States. That should tell you something about what their ultimate goals are. No matter what scheme they got coming down the pike here, their ultimate goal is to debulk the population. They want less of us worthless eaters around at any given point. You know, 500 million. So in their book, The Limits to Growth, the authors point blank argue for the population to shrink if Mother Earth is to survive much longer. This development is highly worrisome, says the Club of Rome. As possible solutions for this problem, quote, it proposes either the birth rate must be brought down equal to the new lower death rate, or death rate must rise again. Contrary to popular belief, the architect of China's policies was neither Mao Zedong nor a party sadist hatching eugenicists in sub-level torture chamber. According to anthropologist Susan Greenhall in her study Just One Child, Science and Policy in Deng's China, the inspiration for the tyrannical move by the Chinese Communist Party was inspired first and foremost by the Club of Rome. And I don't know how many of you know that China has a one-child policy. And if you really add that up, you got two people creating one more person. That would create, in just a few generations, half of the population. And the fact is we are not an overpopulated Earth. We do pollute the Earth in certain ways. And yes, I'm not going to deny that. However, the Earth and the oceans and the air is one big filter. And I can tell you one thing. The Earth is hardwired to take care of itself. If we become too much of a burden on the Earth, life in and of itself will continue and it will survive. Regardless of what we do to interject ourselves into the situation, the Earth will wipe us out clean off the face of the Earth if it so deems that we are a detriment to the overall Earth. And the fact that the Club of Rome stands at the cradle of one-child policies may not come as a complete surprise to those who have read all the policy papers issued from the 70s onward. This has been going on. The same Malthusian idea that triggered our current green movement and its obsession with man-made global warming mythology once inspired, sterilization policies in the decades preceding World War II. This is a perfect segue into what Malthusianism is. And Malthusianism is nothing more than it's the theory that population tends to increase at a faster rate than its mean of subsistence, and unless it's checked by moral restraint or by disease, famine, war, or other disaster, widespread poverty and degradation invariably result. Malthus, who Malthusians named after, saw the idea of endless progress towards a utopian society undermined because of the dangers of population growth. He said, and I quote, "The power of population is indefinitely greater than the power of the earth to produce subsistence for man." He argued that the population was held within resource limits by two types of checks: positive ones, which raised the death rate, and preventative ones, which lowered the birth rate. Positive checks include hunger, disease, and war. And the preventative checks include abortion, birth control, prostitution, postponement of marriage, and celibacy. Believing that egalitarian societies were prone to overpopulation, which means free, Malthus wrote in dramatic terms, epidemics, pestilence, and plague advance in terrific array and sweep off their thousands and ten thousands. Should success be still incomplete, gigantic famine stalk in the rear, and with one mighty blow it levels the population with the food of the world. And they've gone on to, you know, further formulate this with the Malthusian catastrophe, which originally foreseen to be a forced return to subsistence level conditions once population growth had outpaced agricultural production. So what we got going on here is they're trying to create a Malthusian catastrophe in order to bring each and every one of us down to subsistence level. When we get back, we'll talk more about it. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome back to the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacey. I'm sitting in for Ernest. We're talking about how the global elites are taking us over with the Hegelian dialectic. I understand I have a caller, M in Illinois. Are you there?
I want to go back to the first hour, you know, about the diamonds.
Yes, ma'am.
When I found out about it, but there's no thing about it. I mean, it's a nice stone. You know, when you see, you know, the clarity, you know, I mean, that's what, I mean, the... But then it's a nice stone. But when I found out the mystery and all the things about it, I said, never again will I ever, you know, get one. And the other way to more become independent right now is to do with what you have in everything, you know, in everything. And then on the other hand, go to the, you know, resale shop and find stuff that's still made in America and so on and so forth. And then when you just went over, I just heard one or two things about, you know, the control of the people and so on and so forth. In my opinion, if the system and the people and the top ones were honest, there is enough for everybody. There is so much waste, you know, that goes out in the garbage cans and the other stuff. I mean, from with the rules and regulations, what they made, you know, from the stores and so on and so forth.
Yes, ma'am.
In reality, what they want you to be is totally sick that they can make a living off of you. And when you, you know, go on the inner aisles of the grocery store, then you see it, you know, all the boxes and so on and so forth. Did I make any sense?
Yes, you did. Are you trying to say that they want us to keep wanting different things and they give us things that aren't necessarily healthy for us, so we need other products?
Yeah. I mean, that eventually, you know, that we actually sick. And for prevention, you know, if you say, I really don't want medication, which I, you know, my body doesn't need any, you know, well, then you're an outcast. And you even, what should I say, dropped or said, well, she ought to, you know, the children ought to be taken and so on and so forth.
That's right. We were, I was going to get to that a little bit later. I'm so glad that you brought it up, but... You know, they're data mining on us and keeping so much information on everything that we do that and they use that information against us.
So just don't, you know, pay your bills over the, you know, over the open waves and so on and so forth.
How did you figure out what was going on? What made you awaken to the situation that we're in?
Actually, I probably didn't go through the educational system over here. Common sense.
You just opened your eyes. Well, I thank you so much for your call, Em. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No.
Well, thank you so much, ma'am. Have a nice day. Well, welcome back. We are continuing. That was interesting. And it's true what she said about diamonds, that they aren't precious. And the fact of the, you know, that we are, the people die every single day over the diamonds. in order for people just to have these baubles to make themselves look better, it's really not worth it, is it? I mean, we've been conditioned to believe that diamonds are a girl's best friend. We've been conditioned that people want a cigarette when they're in the at the firing squad. We've been conditioned that bacon is a worthwhile breakfast food that's meant to go with eggs. We've been conditioned that cognac is the high-dollar alcohol when it's actually made from the skins of the grape seeds that are left over. We are conditioned on a daily basis by the things that we take in through the various media outlets. And I would imagine that I'm not trying to condition you. I'm trying to inform you. But it's, and what I'm trying to do is opposed to the mainstream media is make you think about what's going on as opposed to the media doing your thinking for you. And that is the whole point. They want a non-thinking public. They want a non, they want you to have no ideas of your own. They want you to just follow along with what they said. And like Em was talking about, she didn't grow up in the United States and she didn't go to our schools. So she feels that she got a better education in which she's better equipped to face the realities of what's going on in the world. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. But the fact is, you have to break yourself away from the matrix. You have to break yourself away from all of these things that are being done to you and in your name around the world. And if we don't do these things, we're all going to suffer. And getting back to Malthusian theory, you know, and the Malthusian catastrophes and subsistence level living. When we get back, we got a long segment coming up here. We're going to talk about Malthusian doctrine coinciding with a lot of different things. And then we're going to go into more about how we're getting hurt by these elites. When we come back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show, my name is Jet Lacey. I'm sitting in for Ernest. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
In the name of liberty. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacey. I'm sitting in. Things are starting to cook around here at the Freedoms with an S Phoenix studio in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. We got people coming in and out. We got a lot of activity and a lot of activism going on here at the studios because, again, in most of the country, it's sort of cooling. I mean, it's cooling down, and you guys are sort of hunkering down for a long winter, and us here in Arizona, we're just getting cooking. We're coming out from our long slumber of the summer. It was, my God, was it hot this year. And I vow every year that I'm not going to complain, and you know what? I do anyway. So we got my friend Vaughn here. We got Morpheus in the house. We got my friend Luke coming down here for the first time, really hanging out, and we're getting some things done here. And this is the ultimate reason why I'm here every day, is to educate people as to what is going on in our world, to really open people's minds, to free minds, and to enter, to have people entertain the thought that there is individual liberty that is the most important thing that you could possibly experience in your life. If you believe in I do, as I do, I was, Ernie said I was an atheist yesterday on the radio show, which that is not true. I'm a deist. I just don't hold any particular religion, but but I'm very devoutly believe in a higher power that created me out of love and for a purpose. And if you believe, as I do, that we were created in our Creator's image, and that that Creator is free, then we were born free. And that is the way we are. These are what are known as the natural rights that the Founding Fathers believed in so strongly. The natural right that we are born free and we have the right to life, liberty, and property. And property meaning the fruits of your labor. Whatever you earn, whatever you produce, is yours to keep and no one else's. And there's a lot of people out there that believe differently and that want to take from you what you have. And there's a lot of people out there that are very successful at this point of taking what you have and using it for themselves or using it against you, which is going on. And that is how they use the Hegelian dialectic. And just to finish up on the Malthusian doctrine and how the whole problem in this earth, according to Malthusian doctrine, is when we're too successful, the population goes up too much, and then the earth can't support us. But the contrary to that is the way I believe, is that we are not, there's plenty of ways to go about it. There's plenty of things that we can do. They're paying for us not to plant crops. They're paying for us not to do certain things. We have paid for our businesses and our corporations like Dodge and General Motors to be shipped off to other countries that we don't have it anymore. So we're actually paying for the demise of our own country. And I hope to hear from you guys at 1-800-313-9443. I understand I do have a caller, Larry in Washington. Are you there, Larry?
Yeah, I'm here, Jeff.
Well, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, brother?
I'm just want to vent a little steam.
Please do.
Not towards you, but towards the whole Patriot community. I mean, I've been at this 35 years, let's say, trying it into the courts back in the 80s, and then we realized that you no longer function under the common law here in America. You function under Admiralty Maritime Commerce. And we have like a shotgun pattern. All of us have different things that we want, you know, abortion, 9/11, whatever. But if you'd cut the head, and I mean, you know who Jim Trafficant is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I was just reading an interview he did, and I totally agree with him. There's no reason to audit the Fed. Just get rid of it. It is not constitutional. If we could cut the head off the snake, all these other programs would die.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly, Larry. The fact of the matter is, though, that Ron Paul has put in an End the Fed bill every single year or every single term he's been in Congress, and it's gotten nowhere. And he figured if we just audited it for one time, that would effectively prove what he's been saying all along, and that it should be abolished.
Well, like I said, I've been at this for decades, and it's not going to change. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and we're going to talk ourselves right until they kick in our doors and start dragging people out.
I understand, and I agree with you. And the fact of the matter is why Ernest took this show is because it's sort of a more conservative network, and there's sort of a lot of the anti-Zionist sort of rhetoric that goes on with the hosts, and we just use these opportunities to educate people as to what's actually going on. But we
well,
do. Like, what's that? Go ahead, sir.
It truthfully, you don't have to say anti-Zionist. Who controls the Feds? Who are the Class A stockholders of the Feds? the same group of people that run the city of London.
That's correct.
And unless you say, okay, look at if they were all blacks, you'd say something about blacks. If they're all Italians, they'd be the mafia.
Right.
Well, let's just address, never mind the New World Order and the Bilderbergers and the CFR and the Thailand. Just say, who controls your money? And through the money controls all everything else that functions in the world. Call them who they are. Khazarian, Ashkenazi, Jews.
Yeah. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, and the fact of the matter is what I'm going into is I don't care what their religion is.
They're not religious. You can't even say that because the Ashkenazi were, you if you understand who they are, they're not religious. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're not religious. And then you get into Zionism, and Zionism was maybe something from the British out of, okay. But I mean, it's just I'm so frustrated about the whole thing. I hear talk, you know, Jones and everybody else talks about the New World Order. I don't know what it's going to take, but us talking about it and talking about it, we'll talk ourselves and our grandkids into the damn gulags.
I understand, Larry. I'm with you 100%. I would disagree with you that the fact is that the time for talking, we still have the liberty, we still have those freedoms in place that we're able to talk about these things, and we haven't lost our basic liberties of free speech and the right to protect ourselves, and until that point comes, it's not time. When the time comes, I think we'll all know when that time is.
Well, they just passed the hate crime bill. I would assume that it's getting pretty close to the time.
I would agree with you. I just don't think it's quite time yet. I think there still needs to be a massive education program in order to wake the minds and to free the minds of the general populace that are still living in the Matrix.
I hold that hope close to my heart because that's the only thing that keeps me from doing things that, you know, because as a Vietnam veteran and being as old as I am, I don't really give a damn if I go meet the Lord next week or the week after or 6 years from now. But to think that we've allowed our republic to turn into this cesspool, it's frustrating.
I mean, I can only imagine how that must make you feel that, you know, you risked your life for this.
A lie. A lie. The Gulf of Tonkin was a lie. To realize that and to see 9/11, another lie. I mean, Smedley Butler said it back in the 30s, war's a racket. Figure it out. Christ Almighty, the trillions of dollars that are being spent over there, we could build our infrastructure, we could do all these things for we the people, but no, it's being spent over there on a lie.
And for the benefit of the corporations, which was the whole point of my talk today, that this is being done at the behest and for the benefit of these large corporations that make up what we call the New World Order. I didn't give them that name. They gave that name to themselves. And I
long
totally,
time ago.
Yeah. I totally understand where you're coming from. Do you have anything else you want to say, Larry?
No, that's it, bud.
I really appreciate your input. What a great call. I hope you call in again.
Bye-bye. I will.
Wow, we're getting some callers here now. We got Richard in Alabama. How you doing, Richard?
Yeah, am I on?
Yes, sir. You're live on the air on Declare Your Independence.
That was fast. Hey, I just came on listening to you all, one of the things that I've noticed is that if the listeners would just remember this, that Thomas Jefferson, as far as I remember, Thomas Jefferson said that we've defeated the British on the battlefield. But what they're going to do next is they're going to, if you don't remain vigilant, they're going to send their agents over to this country. They're going to get involved in the government. They're going to get involved in the judicial system. But when they get control of printing your money, which they did on December 23rd, 1913, with the passing of the Federal Reserve Act, then they're going to create wars. And remember what Woodrow Wilson said, if you elect me president, I promise you I will not send any American boys to die on foreign soil. And, you know, as we all know, what happened after that? Over there, the Yanks are coming. We went over there. And then we had economic depression, and it's just been a roller coaster. And the Founding Fathers said that we would, if we weren't vigilant, we would become destitute upon the land that our founding, that they had conquered. So
that's right. That's exactly what's happened, isn't it? Do you have any thoughts on what we can do to remedy this situation?
Only thing I can say, folks, is everybody better start praying real hard, because it's an incremental surrender. And as long as the media is controlled by these people, then they're going to just keep on entertaining us with, it's just like the Romans. I mean, it's like going to the Colosseum and, you know, watching all the entertainment in the at the Forum. So,
yeah, the best thing you can do is shut off your TV, right?
Well, that is one of them. And as I think most people know, try to educate people about the origins of money.
That's right.
And did Christ not throw the money changers out of the temple? I mean, this goes back, thousands of years.
Absolutely.
And we should be utilizing the silver and the gold. And as most people know, if they pay attention to the whole monetary system, I mean, we, you know, and they've talked about this on other programs before. Yeah. I know this.
You're right.
There's no copper in our money anymore. There's no silver in our money anymore. Look what Roosevelt did. Look what Congressman McFadden tried to do. He tried to expose these people in the 20s.
Right.
What they were.
Charles Lindbergh Sr. tried. There's many of them that have been trying, and all the way up to Ron Paul today. I thank you for the call, Richard. And your input was absolutely fantastic. I just want to catch a couple of these calls before we're running out of time. So we got Kelly in Georgia. Are you still with us, Kelly?
Yes, I am.
Well, good. Hey, what's going on? What's on your mind, ma'am?
Well, a couple of things. I was calling about Codex Alimentarius, but the previous caller kind of jogged my memory about something I had read, I don't even know, maybe 8 years ago, about Aldous Huxley and how he was sent here by the British to help spawn the counterculture hippie movement or whatever, you know, and he obviously did have an impact on it because the Doors were named after him and a lot of other things. But so maybe that guy was onto something and they've sent their agents over here to work in more ways than we've realized.
Yeah, have you ever heard him say you can find it on the internet where they're developing techniques. He's got a really creepy voice. Like, we're developing techniques where people will learn to love their servitude, where they ought not to love their servitude.
No, you best. Actually reminded me of Alan Watt when you just said that. Yeah. But I'll have to go look that up because I'd love to hear that. But, yeah, I just finished rereading Brave New World.
I did,
and
too.
It's been since high school, and it's so freaky. And now I'm reading 1984, and I'm like, whoa, you know, is this their game plan?
It really is. I thank you so much for your call, Kelly.
Alrighty.
We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. I got Ernest talking to me via Skype. I hope he's enjoying the show. And we'll be right back in just a minute on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacey. I'm sitting in for Ernest while he catches up on a little work. And sometimes I feel like I got my balls to the wall, sure, but you know what? I'm a free individual. I believe that I hold my future in my hands. And that's something that a lot of us have lost. The fact that we own our destiny to a certain extent. And it gets it's really complicated. It gets convoluted in different ways. But you own your life. If you believe that you own yourself and your life, then you own your destiny. And you don't have to participate in any of this stuff if you say you don't want to. It's just a matter of fact of we're creatures of habit. We're part of a herd that we want to follow along and be accepted. And you really have to ask yourself those questions, whether or not the following the herd is ultimately the best thing for you. If the rest of your herd is running off the end of a cliff, are you going to join them or not? So we have another caller. We have Michael in New York. Hey, Michael.
Hey, good afternoon, Jet. Before I get to the other comments with the previous topics, you have to be sharp enough to even realize when hanging out with the herd, you notice that wherever all the herd have a commonality, getting sick, same kind of sickness, same kind of diseases, and you realize they're all drinking and eating at the same water hole. So you got to get real smart and not participate in anything that pertains to the herd, because the herd is constantly being domesticated for destruction.
Absolutely, Michael. That's why this week coming up, I'm going to be building my chicken coop and getting some chickens and have some fresh eggs every day. Tell you what, I eat Ernest eggs all the time. Man, they taste totally different. They taste like real eggs. And I'm getting ready to grow my garden. Of course, we have a different growing season than you guys do in New York and around the country, but we're just planting our gardens now.
Yeah, well, that's right. You take advantage of what Mother Nature can offer you for the gardening. And personally, as a vegetarian, I'll tell you, Jet, there's no other way to stay tip-top healthy. I mean, I'm never sick. You know, I treat people for these flus constantly with my infection killer, but I never get it. I don't get sick ever. I'm a ball of energy 24/7, and I do a lot of work. I'm very productive in all kinds of things, even manual physical labor. And just constantly, on the go all the time and feeling great all the time. And the state of mind has a lot to do with it. Fortunately for me, I've had a lot of discipline growing up, all self-initiative, so spiritually, very balanced and positive framework. And like you say, I don't participate in their system really at all, even as it's enveloping all around me, but yet somehow the Lord in his mysterious way always takes care of his own. Everything's always going good. Even business-wise, things are always going good. And so the Americans just have to get back to that, and then they'll all discover what I already know. And, you know, as far as what you said with the previous caller, for sure, we need more education. Unfortunately, RBN isn't heard on enough to enough a volume of people over enough networks, and so there's a whole lot more education still required before we have enough people in this country aware of the real enemy and how they're operating against us.
Well, that's what we're doing day by day. All we can do is one day at a time, and I thank you so much for the call, Michael.
Can I just mention one other thing after the break?
We're almost over, but you can go ahead right now, brother. The show's almost over.
Thank you. David Rockefeller's quote in his memoirs, 2006, he's a traitor, and he stands guilty, and he's proud of it with his New World Order activity, and our military has to wake up and realize we got to get him home now. And get rid of this domestic enemy. God bless, sir.
Thanks, Michael. That's just like Ron Paul said. We marched in. We can march right out. And we're marching against the New World Order here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.